Whatever situation you face today, whatever circumstances or situation, God wants you to call on Him. Psalms 50 verse 15 says, "Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me." That means pray about it. So let your hope be found in God. He says, "Trust me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you." He says, "Abide in me, and I will restore you." He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
What do you do when everything seemingly puts up a fight against you? When everything seems like a struggle?
Have you ever had that feeling where every time you think you're on the right track or on the right path, here comes something? Here comes temptation. Here comes sin trying to derail you and knock you off the right path.
Have you ever had one of those days where it's just a fight? Where everything is a fight. Your journey to work seems like it's a struggle. You get to work and it's hostile that day. You get home and something unexpected happens. An unexpected letter, an unexpected bill.
I've had days where I've been strong. Days where I feel as though I can mount up with wings like an eagle. Days where I'd pray and feel as though I could touch the gates of heaven. 10 minutes would go by, 20 minutes would go by, and it would still feel as though I'm just getting started. These are the days I feel like a giant slayer. I feel empowered by the Holy Spirit. But then, there are other days. Days where if I try to pray, it feels like I'm next to a brick wall and my words just keep bouncing off and going nowhere.
Have you ever had a day where everything is a struggle? It's a fight? You try to read the Word, but that becomes a fight. You try and pray, but that too proves to be a fight. You put some worship music on, but you're still fighting. What do you do?
There are days where I feel as though surely God cannot forgive me again. You know the kind of days where you feel weighted down. You feel as though sin has left a stain, a mark on you that can't be removed. Yes, I've been through days where I felt as though God wouldn't want to save someone like me. With all my issues and the sin I struggle with.
I believe that David experienced days like this quite often. He must have. Because if you read Psalm 18, verse 6, the Bible says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cry for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears." That's a man who's been going through things. David goes on further in Psalm 27, verse 7, and says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me." And the question I always had was, why is David crying to God so much? Why is it that so often in the Psalms, David speaks of crying out to the Lord? But as I grew in maturity, as I grew in understanding, it became clear to me that many of us, like David, will face things beyond our ability to solve. We will face situations that we can do nothing about, except to simply try and endure.
And it's this issue of struggling with sin that I want to talk about. I'm glad that the Bible says in Romans 7 and 15, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." And then Romans 7, verse 18 and 19 says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." It's astonishing that the Apostle Paul, a servant of the Lord, a man who God performed miracles through, he is opening up about this struggle with sin. The same struggle with sin that I face. He must have had his good days. Days when he was strong and could cast out demons in the name of Jesus or lay hands on the sick and heal them. But this very same Paul also had bad days, where he felt like he took one step forward and two steps back. But here's the thing. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity." You see, though we struggle with sin, we can only overcome in Jesus. Though we fall, we can only get back up with the help of the Lord. Though we may indeed stumble, it is in Jesus that we have steady ground.
Now, there may be someone who has gotten to the point where you are so low that you think God has forgotten you. There may be someone who finds themselves today at a point of uncertainty. You don't know whether to turn left or right. You don't know whether to cry or smile. And regarding whatever it is that's making you feel this way, if it's sin, if it's addiction, if it's your marriage, or if it's the fact that you can't seem to find someone to marry, if it's your job or financial situation, I want to encourage you to pray about it. Pray about it before you give up. Pray about it before you look anywhere else. Pray about it before you look to anyone else. And the reason I'm telling...
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
I want you to pray about it. Is because too often, when we find ourselves in these certain positions, we either drift away and get lost in the sea of our problems, or we start paddling trying to find a way out of our problems. We start trying to use our own strength to get out of the messes we're in. We do our best to use our resources and know-how just to try to save ourselves. But I would like to encourage you to pray about it. Call on the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. Pray about it and call on the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When I read Jeremiah 33 verse 3, which says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." When I read that scripture, I hear the word of God telling me to pray about it.
Dear Christian, I want to say to you, keep walking with God. Keep walking with Jesus. In this day and age, where people are walking in ways that appear to be right in their own eyes, I want to encourage you to keep walking in obedience to God's word. The Bible in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 to 7 says, "If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." As children of God, we certainly do not walk in darkness. We are not led by the lusts of this world. As children of God, we walk in the light because Jesus Christ is light. We walk in truth because Jesus Christ is truth. we walk in love because Jesus Christ is love. So keep walking with God, dear listener. In this day and age where people are chasing higher incomes but have lower morals, I encourage you to keep walking with God. Keep walking in righteousness. In this day and age, where people voice their opinions more than they demonstrate the love of Christ, I encourage you to keep walking. Keep walking with God. Though you may have to hold your tongue at times, though you may have to endure people slandering your name, I encourage you to keep walking. Keep walking in the love of Christ. Dear Christian, in this day and age, where people no longer honor their word, I encourage you to honor God, both in private and in public. In this day and age where Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, and we can see the love of many growing cold, and we can see men becoming lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, I encourage you to walk with God. I encourage you to seek the Lord intensely. Pray for an obsessive appetite for the presence of God. And so as you go through this life, make sure that you're walking with the Lord. Make sure that you're walking with the eyes of faith. Make sure you're walking in the Spirit.
From the moment that we come of age and begin to know right from wrong, we begin a journey. We begin walking in either light or darkness. You see, it's either we walk in a direction that leads us to Christ, that leads us to be born again, or we simply walk according to our own accord. We begin walking either in the Spirit or in the flesh. I believe the Bible talks about walking so much because if you really think about it, we are all walking one of two paths. We are either walking on the broad road or the narrow road. We're either walking by faith or we're walking by sight. And if you really think about it, we are all walking. And the Bible has two very clear, distinct paths. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." His word is a lamp to my feet. Why? Because we're walking. God's word is a light to our paths. Why? Because we're walking. We're all walking in one path or another. There is a path that leads to eternal life. It's a path that leads to a destination where there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more struggle or despair. This path will lead you into the arms of the Father. And then there is a path that leads to eternal damnation. Now, what's interesting is that the path that leads to eternal life requires us to take up our cross and follow Jesus. There is a price to be paid for taking this path. It will cost you something. Your pride has to go. Your will has to be put on the back seat so that God's will rules over your life. This path is one of sacrifice. It's one that requires you to serve. But it's a path that brings glory in Christ. This is exactly why 2 Timothy 2, verse 12 says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. However, the path that leads to hell involves you living for the flesh. Yes, you enjoy life without a care in the world for the things of God. You do whatever you want whenever you feel like it. But in the end, there is a price to be paid. So, which path are you walking on today?
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When you have knowledge of God, then you would not doubt His might and strength. When you acquire knowledge, then you become a believer who is fearless, because you know that greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world.
We are believers of Christ, and we ought to know holy from unholy, good from evil. Examine yourself.
Philippians 1, verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." The Amplified Version says, "I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return." Take a moment and consider, what does the Bible mean when it says this very thing? What is this very thing? Why should we be confident of it? Why is this very thing so important that it's associated with the beginning of a good work that will be completed until the day of Jesus? Saints, I believe that when the Bible talks about this very thing, it's talking about your salvation. And the reason I believe this is because when you are saved and when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you don't automatically become detached from your flesh. You don't automatically become this perfect person who never gets angry or upset. That's not the case. You need to work on your salvation by seeking more of Jesus Christ, by meditating on His Word, by pursuing a closer relationship with Him, by yielding to the Holy Spirit.